If you would turn there this morning, we're in chapter number 2. Our lesson this morning covers the 20 verses in the chapter, an important chapter that we'll look at here in the life of Paul and his witness for Christ and his sharing of the gospel with others. You'll find in this chapter he deals with the subject of witnessing to others, being bold in that witness, but also being appropriate sharing the gospel with others. He stresses the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the importance of not only staying true to the gospel, but also making sure that they are bold with the gospel and trying to share that with as many people as they possibly can. I will also say that in reading the chapter, you will gather also the importance of doing or witnessing, I should say, or sharing the gospel with others, that it to be done in the right way. And it's not for the glory of man, but it's for the glory of Christ, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But we'll pray and open up with a word of prayer and ask for God's blessings and help on this day. And I believe that Sunday is probably the most important day of the week. Now, I realize every day is the Lord's Day as far as a gift from God, but I don't know, I just look at Sunday as an important day to get started and to kind of get our batteries kind of recharged, sometimes to get our minds refocused a little bit, reminding us of the purpose of why we are here on this earth, and that is to serve Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that your blessings would be upon this day here in this church. We pray for your help, your blessing upon the message this morning as Brother Richardson comes and delivers that message, and then this evening's message. We pray for your blessings there as well. And Lord, help us to realize the importance of what we have this morning and what we are a part of, and help us to, Lord, gain every ounce as you lead and guide today in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, all of us, Lord, have a need this morning. We need to hear from you. We need leading and guiding and directing in our life. And Lord, we pray that we would gain all that you have for us. Help us to apply ourselves this morning and this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would guide, lead, and direct in our life as we go back into this week and go out into the world and start over another week. We pray for your guiding, leading, and directing in our week. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our service to you. Help us in our witness for you each and every day this next week. Lord, help us to be bold in that. We, Lord, also want to mention those who have prayer requests today. Lord, I know there's many in our church who have needs, and God, we do want to pray for them. We understand and realize the importance of prayer and praying for one another. And Lord, we lift those prayer requests up to you today and ask, Lord, that you would help in the life of those that are mentioned today. Lord, we also pray for our country today. Lord, we are in need of a spiritual revival in our country. And Lord, I pray that you would help our country to see that our greatest need today as a nation is to turn back to you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our missionaries today, Lord. We uplift them today. They're very special to us, very important to us. And we pray, Lord, for your blessings and help in their life. We also, Lord, want to pray for those this morning who have maybe a lost loved one. Maybe it's a next door neighbor. Maybe it's a good friend that needs to be saved today. Lord, the greatest need in all of the world is salvation for those that are lost. So we pray for them. We pray that you would help us to be a good witness, a bold witness to those who are in need of Christ today. We pray, Lord, that you bless our Sunday school hour, our time that we come together here. We pray for your blessings upon our study this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thessalonians. We are in 1 Thessalonians. We are now in chapter number 2. And as I have just mentioned a couple of moments ago, you're going to find here that Paul is going to discuss a little bit of the task that they had before them in sharing of the gospel. It was not always a popular subject. Not everybody received Christ as their Savior, but you'll find that many did. There were many obstacles in sharing the gospel with the world. They weren't always treated properly, if you would. They suffered at times for their stand on the gospel and of their proclaiming and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll find that Paul and others at times would suffer persecution, something that I'm afraid that we know very little of. As of today, we have the freedom to share the gospel. I would not be in fear to go out and share the gospel with someone this morning. I would not be in fear of persecution or from our government. And we have the freedom to share the gospel. I'm afraid the problem is sometimes we just don't share it enough. But you'll find here that Paul talks about a little bit of the suffering that maybe they had to endure at times. He will also discuss with you how dear the gospel is to him and how important it is to him that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to him, and then also the purpose of sharing the gospel with others. But we'll get into our chapter this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. He says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before." So he talks a little bit here about they weren't always treated right. When they would enter into a community or a particular city at times, they weren't always treated correctly. Sometimes there was suffering that came along with that. But you know, this morning, I'm glad that Paul didn't give up and quit when he faced some suffering and some persecution, when he faced obstacles, when he had some roadblocks in life. Praise be to God, Paul continued on. He didn't allow that to stop his ministry. And every ministry is going to have some roadblocks. Every ministry is going to have some bumps in the road. Every individual this morning that is here, in your striving to serve Christ daily and to be all that God would want you to be, you're going to have some difficult times in succeeding in that. You're going to find the world's not always going to accept that. You're going to find that Satan is going to battle you daily. You're going to find that there's going to be some tough days in serving Christ and doing what you know God wants you to do. Always keep that in mind. Just because it's God's will for you and just because that's what you're supposed to do doesn't mean that it's always going to be an easy road. And Paul here talks in verse number 2, it mentions the word suffered and how they suffered before and were shamefully entreated. All right? So they not everybody had open arms to him. Not everybody was glad to see them come. Not everybody was glad to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And Paul reveals that here and talks about this a little bit here. He goes on and says, as you know, at Philippi. So when they were there, wasn't an easy ministry. It wasn't an easy road for them to take. But that's the ministry. That's life. I mean, it doesn't mean that we give up. It doesn't mean just because you've got maybe a family member that maybe you have witnessed to in times past, and just because they didn't receive Christ and just because they're not serving God, it doesn't mean that we stop. It doesn't mean that we give up. It doesn't mean that we stop doing what we know to do. It doesn't mean that we stop even witnessing to them. And Paul here talks about suffering a little bit here. You'll find that he says here, as you know, at Philippi. And then he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So he mentions here some key words, I believe, here. He mentions how they were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. One of the things lacking, I believe, in our day and age is a bold witness for Christ. I'm afraid sometimes it's easy to go through life. It's easy to go through the day. It's easy to go through your routine of the week and get sidetracked in believing that, you know, well, today's Monday. I get up at such and such time. I go to work here and I need to take care of this and I've got to go do that tomorrow. And maybe you've got your routine of the day tomorrow, but never forget that even in your routine, there's a purpose for your life, and it's not a job. It's not necessarily running this errand and going here and there. Your purpose every day is to serve Jesus Christ and to be bold in our witness for Him. The world needs to be told that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And mankind needs to be told that. You say, well, we live in America. Everybody knows that. Well, I disagree. I believe there's a lot of confused people. I believe we look at society today, and everybody would agree in our country, there are less people going to church today than ever in the history of the United States of America. And it's declining every year. Churches are struggling to to bring people in, and there's more people out of church. There are going to be more people that do not go to church in America today than people that do go to church today. Now, does that mean that everybody that didn't go to church today is lost? Doesn't mean that at all. Church attendance has nothing to do with salvation, but it does give us a little bit of an insight of where we stand spiritually in our nation. And I look at that, and it's a sad, sad number to look at. But then on the other hand, we also ought to look at it and realize there's an opportunity for us to reach more people. If there's more people lost today than it was last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, then that means there are more people out there that need the gospel that we could share the gospel with and have an impact in their life. So Paul here is reflecting back a little bit. He is discussing with some people here that there were times when it wasn't easy, when people didn't they didn't welcome them with open arms, but it didn't stop them. They were bold, he says here in verse number 2, to speak unto you the gospel of God. All right, wasn't easy. It wasn't necessarily always popular. Not everybody agreed with the gospel or the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But praise be to God, Paul was bold in that witness. And we ought to be bold in our witness. I mean, we ought to realize every day that we live this week, who we serve, who we represent. We represent the King of all kings, Jesus Christ. And it ought to change the way we act. It ought to change the way we live. It ought to change the way we speak. It ought to be in our minds and our hearts every moment of the day that we represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that needs our King, Jesus Christ, and needs salvation. And Paul is going to get into some detail here as well about how important it is that even though not everybody wants to hear the gospel, not everybody wants to maybe open their arms to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's a right way to do it. And Paul continues on here. So he mentions to you in verse number 2, he was bold. Now, he doesn't apologize for that. Some people may would have looked at Paul as maybe being a little bit on the, I don't know, he, you know, to some, Paul maybe would be, he would kind of rub them a little bit wrong a little bit because he was very, very bold. He was very stern. He was very unapologetic when it came to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was very forceful with it. He was very strong in it. And it reveals unto us that Paul, he believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He just knew that he had the answer for mankind, that being Jesus Christ. So he was bold in that. He was very forceful in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he never, ever, ever apologizes for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we should never apologize for who we are. We should never be shameful of who we are. We should not look, we should be bold in our witness. We should be very strong in our witness of Jesus Christ. Even though not everybody's going to like it, not everybody's going to accept it, but we are to continue to march forward in the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Look at verse number 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Boy, verse 4 is a very important verse here in realizing that the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to realize we are a messenger. We are allowed of God to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse number 4, he says here, even so we speak. And then he says, not as pleasing men, but of God, he mentions here in verse number 4. So we need to realize that when we present the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not doing it to try to please men. We're doing it because we're trying to please God. We must always remember that God's vision is that we reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, mankind looks at that and says it's no way possible to spread the gospel to every living creature. I've got news for you. That's God's vision. The goal of God this morning is that every man gets the gospel presented to him. Everybody that lives on this earth, God's will is that everybody be saved. Will everybody be saved? No.
Will everybody say yes to Christ? No. Will everybody get a clear presentation of the gospel? Probably not. But it doesn't mean that we stop. It doesn't mean that we give up. That's why we are to be a witness in our own life. That's why that we ought to serve Christ. That's why we ought to be involved in the church. That's why we ought to give financially. That's why we ought to be a part of giving to missions in our church. Why? Because we want to be a part of trying to get the gospel to the entire world. Now, Paul reminds us here in verse number 4, and it says here that he mentions, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Now, everybody here this morning has been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have no excuse this morning. You are involved in a church that weekly we are reminded that it is our job to share the gospel with a dying world that needs Christ. And we are entrusted with the gospel. And God has entrusted us with the gospel. And it's not a gospel to be hid, it's a gospel to be shared with a lost and dying world. So he talks about being entrusted here in verse number 4 with the gospel. And he mentions here verse number 4 that their job, their mission, their focus was not in pleasing men, but God. He goes on in verse number 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness here. So he mentions in verse number 5, hey, when we came to you, we didn't try to flatter you with special words and big words and impress you with maybe our knowledge and who we are. Paul was very, very careful in that. He wasn't trying to impress them with words. He was just trying to make sure they understood that there is a gospel message. The gospel message is Jesus Christ. And he just wanted to make sure that if nothing else got through, he wanted to make sure the gospel message got through to them. Now, whether they trust Christ or not is not up to Paul. Paul says here that his job was just to share the gospel. He wasn't trying to flatter them with his garments that he wore. He was not trying to flatter people with the words that he used. He just wanted to make sure that he presented the simple message, and that being the message of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he mentions here that they weren't out for glory. Look at verse number 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So he says, I'm not in this for the glory of myself. I'm not here to try to be built up. I'm nothing special. I'm not trying to flatter you. I just want to tell you the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that's the way it ought to be. Every ministry, every church ought to be centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about us trying to impress a world out there. It's not us trying to flattering people with special words and special this and that. I mean, all the world needs is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with what Paul has just given us in the first 6 verses, a lot of the ministry of Paul is very different than a lot of the ministries that we see today in our day and age. There are a lot of ministries in our day and age that try to impress people. They try to impress people with a very charismatic speaker or a building that is very impressive and this and that. And I'm not against nice church buildings and so forth, but more important than a church building is, what are you doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, are you giving a good, clear presentation of the gospel to those that come and sit in the pews of those flattering buildings? And I like nice buildings, and I like big churches, and I like a lot of people coming, don't get me wrong, but what good is it to have a fancy building with a very charismatic type speaker and all kinds of programs, but people come and leave and never hear the gospel message? What good is it to flatter somebody with the clothes that you wear, with the words that you speak? And Paul was very careful here in telling the people here that, hey, you didn't always accept us, and we weren't always popular, but it didn't stop us. We were still bold in our witness, but even in our boldness of our witness, we were very careful. We didn't try to flatter you with words. We didn't try to flatter you with our clothing. We didn't try to flatter you with this and that. We just simply wanted to be bold in just one thing, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't bold in his words. He wasn't necessarily bold in the way he looked with trinkets of the world. He was just very bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. All right? So he said we were careful. Paul realized the seriousness of the what he was doing. He realized the seriousness and was very careful about how the gospel was presented. He didn't want anybody to be misled. He didn't want people to misunderstand. He didn't want them to be a little bit fuzzy or clouded in how they presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to understand this morning. I mean, the gospel message, I mean, being a witness and telling people of salvation and how a person can be saved, it's not difficult, but it's very important. And we don't have to water it down, and we don't have to change it, and we don't have to try to dress it up or dress it down or however you want to mention it. The gospel message is the gospel message. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be rearranged. It just needs to be presented to someone. But you need to do it in the right way. And Paul was very, very careful about his ministry in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He even likened them unto a nurse and how a nurse would take care of a child very carefully, very delicate, very cautiously, if you would. And that's how he looked at his ministry in presenting the gospel. Verse number 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Paul looked at people that were lost as very dear to him, very special to him. And sometimes we need to kind of change the way we think sometimes about lost people. I don't like sometimes the way lost people act and the way they talk and the way they do, but I know a lot of church-going people that I don't like the way they live, the way they talk, and what they do either. But we've got to realize that the lost in this world are not our enemies. The lost of this world is our mission field. That's why we're here. That's who we're searching for. That's who we're looking for. And I'm afraid sometimes we look at the lost world as an enemy unto us. It's those people out there. They're not those people out there. They're the ones we're trying to reach with the gospel. And so Paul here, kind of interesting how he mentions at the end of verse number 8 how they were very dear unto us. Paul spent a lot of time in prayer for them. Paul spent a lot of time being very careful in the words that he would choose and the way he acted and the way he looked and the way the ministry and his... And Paul, you could say he had a mission team. I mean, he had others with him, and he was very careful in instructing those that I would say maybe followed Paul or what I would say maybe worked for Paul. He was very careful in how they presented themselves and how they acted and how they approach people, and he was very careful in the ministry that he was overseeing here. But he also reminds us here that when he viewed those people, you know, those lost people, those unchurched people, those non-church goers out there, those worldly ones out there, Paul looked at them as very dear unto them. Why? They are the ones they're going after. They are the mission field, if you would. Verse number 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day. So he reveals here a little bit the ministry was very, very tiring, very taxing upon them. It wasn't just something casually that they were doing. His missions team worked very hard day and night. He goes on to say, verse number 9, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And Paul, he's reminding us here that that's his mission, to just preach the gospel unto those that need to hear. Verse number 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. All right? So Paul once again stresses here the importance of how they lived before believers and non-believers. And it's important that we remind ourselves daily as we go out into our week, as we start off today in a new week, and as we enter into every day this next week, it's important in how we live our lives. In front of our family members, our next door neighbors, those that we work with, those that we work for, those that we come in contact with, we need to be careful in realizing, every one of us, we're all missionaries for Christ. I mean, when you step out into this world, you're in the mission field. Always remember that your neighborhood is the mission field. It's not, the mission field's not over in Africa. It's not over in the Philippines. It's not over in Australia. I mean, the mission field is where you live. It's where you go to work. It's the supermarket that you go to. It's the gas station that you stop at. It's the next door neighbor that lives across the street from you. Hey, everywhere you go, it is the mission field. And there is a world out there that needs Christ, and it's our job. God has entrusted it to us to take the gospel. Be very careful with it. Be careful how you present it. There's a right way and a wrong way there, no doubt. And Paul is stressing here the importance of that. Verse number 11. As you know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. All right, so he uses an illustration here of how that he tried to be very careful with them, just like a father would his own children. Verse number 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. A lot of powerful words there in verse number 12, that we walk worthy. Very important we understand once again the job that we have, the enormous undertaking that we have to walk worthy of God. So once again, whether we like it or not, it does matter how we live from day to day, and not just on Sunday only, but every day of the week, and that we walk worthy of the calling that God has placed upon our life. And he said, well, I'm not called of God. Brother Richardson, he was called to preach, but I'm not called to preach. I think we're all called to preach. Not all of us are called to pastor. Not all of us are called maybe to give our life to go to Africa. I think God does call some. God chooses maybe not to call some, but I promise you are called as a child of God to serve God. Say, well, what's God calling me to do? Well, I promise you, God's calling you to share the gospel, to be a witness, to be a testimony. And somebody said, well, Brother Richardson, he's called in the full-time service. I think sometimes we got to be careful with that word. I think everybody in this room is called to full-time service. I don't think God's looking for part-time employment. God's looking for full-timers. And full-time is 7 days a week, and it's 24 hours a day, and there's no vacation involved. All of us are called of God. All of us are called to be a witness for Christ. Now, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God doesn't call for specific parts of the ministry. I do believe that. I believe that pastoring, Brother Richardson, our pastor, is a called man of God. God placed that calling upon his life. He doesn't place that calling on everybody's life. And I'll say this, I promise you, God's never called a woman to pastor a church, period. And I don't care if it's Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostals, Catholic, I don't care what it is. I shouldn't even consider those other groups in that mix there. You'd be surprised, some of our Baptist movements and some of our segments of our, quote, Baptist are now ordaining women to pastor churches, and that's wrong. But anyway, that's not part of our lesson this morning. But anyway, see here, verse number 12, that you walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Verse 13, Paul is just rejoicing in those that did believe. All right? Something very, very key here Sometimes we focus more on those that don't believe than those that do believe. Sometimes we tend to sometimes look on the faults or the shortcomings or the lack of results that we would like to see sometimes. And by the way, all results are in the hand of God. It's not up to me to have results. It's my job just to present the gospel, be a testimony, be a witness. And whether a person trusts Christ or not, that's something I have no control over. And sometimes, though, we look on, I wish we had more. I wish I had better results. I wish I could, I wish so-and-so would get saved. And I wish that family member that I've been praying for would get saved and they won't get saved. And sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when you're always looking on the lack of something or the lack of results or those that don't get saved. Where Paul here, you'll find, he focuses all his attention and praises God for those that did believe. I had a preacher tell me one time, and it's very, very true, talking about pastors and so forth. He said, it's amazing that most pastors are always worried on Sundays about all those that didn't show up instead of focusing all of his attention on those that did show up. And it's very true. I mean, often we get discouraged. Well, so-and-so didn't show up, and I prayed for them all week, and I even called them and encouraged them, and man, they didn't even show up. And we'll go through the whole day discouraged because one person didn't show up, when we should have taken and praised God for those that did show up on Sunday morning and focus our attention and love and edification to those that do show up. And so, a little insight here to Paul. Paul looks on the positive. It would have been easy for Paul to take the entire chapter and just tell you how tough it was and how, man, we went into town and it's unbelievable. I mean, nobody wanted to hear. We suffered persecution and I had to go through this and I suffered that because of all them worldly people out there, all those ungodly lost sinners out there. Paul never looks at it that way. Paul actually looked at those lost people as dear unto us. And now here you'll find that Paul focuses attention on those that did believe. You say, well, if I had all those that believed like Paul did, I could be encouraged. We got to realize our flesh is flesh, and we tend to kind of look on the negative of things. But praise be to God here that he thanks God in verse number 13 without ceasing. Why? Because of those that received the Word of God, for those that did get saved, for those that did trust, for those that did come into the fold. And Paul was excited about that. Because that was positive things taking place in his ministry. Verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered like things in our own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak of the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. It's interesting here how that Paul, I'm pretty amazed here with Paul and how that he views the world. Paul doesn't take, and his day that he lived in is different than ours, no doubt about that. But I promise you this, I'd rather live today than in the days that Paul lived. So, well, they had a lot better results when Paul was living. Well, you got to realize that the gospel was going to a world that had never heard. I mean, we live in a nation today, we live in what we call the Bible Belt. You don't hear much about that anymore, but years ago they classified a certain region of our nation here as the Bible Belt. There were churches on every corner. The gospel had pretty well just saturated those areas, and because of that, churches were all over the place, and so they classified our region kind of through here as the Bible Belt. Now, the only thing I can say is the Bible Belt needs to get back to the Bible, that's for sure. And a lot's happened over the years, but let's be honest, the Bible Belt is slipping away. I don't know that you can call our region the Bible Belt anymore. And it's easy sometimes to get discouraged. It's easy to go to church and say, man, I've had people tell me, I remember back years ago and boy, you had revival, and I mean, you better get there early because you couldn't find a seat, and And, you know, there's a lot of stories like that. What's sad this morning on my part is I've never been a part of that. In my lifetime, I have never been involved in a revival where I had to go early to get a seat. Some of you have testified and maybe can remember days when revivals took place, and I mean the churches were full, and boy, things happened, and the hearts of God's people were stirred, and boy, excitement broke out, and some people got saved, and some people were reached, and I mean great things happened because of those meetings. But I'm going to be honest with you this morning, I have never been really a part of that. Now, I've been in some special meetings, and I've seen some amazing things happen, but not like maybe an older generation has been able to witness. Why? Well, I don't know that any man has the answer to that. I mean, we can point fingers. We can ask each other to give your opinion of why you think it's not like that anymore. And it'd be amazing the answers we would get, and everybody would have their opinions on why. But I look at it in another way, and I have to kind of put a little positive twist on it. We have to realize, because of what we're seeing, it has to be that there are greater opportunities than it's ever been. There are people to reach. There are a lot of people this morning that do not attend church. And what's sad is we'll go through a whole week and never invite anybody to church. Actually, after I read this chapter here, and I've studied and I've read through it several times here, and I look at this chapter number 2, and to be honest with you, it convicts me in realizing that I'm probably not doing all that I ought to be doing. And I think back over the past week, and I thought about an individual that I should have invited to church, and I didn't invite him to church. And I realize here how dear the ministry was to Paul. How serious he was about his duty as a Christian, as a believer. And I realize called of God. But Paul took the gospel very, very serious. And by the way, I'm amazed at churches today that have little regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a man in our church, and he's been saved a long, long time, gave a testimony one night about how that he went to a revival. It was in a Baptist church in our town. He went forward as a teenager because at the end of the message, God had spoken to him. He realized he was lost, and the preacher had... he said he wasn't just a real strong preacher, but he, you know, there was enough substance there that the Holy Spirit of God convicted him. He knew that he was lost. He knew that if he died without Christ, he would go to hell, as the preacher mentioned in the sermon in that revival service. So at the end, they gave an invitation. He goes forward, and in that invitation, the evangelist that was preaching the revival instructed them to come forward to be saved at the invitation. At the end, they all stood. He remembers the music starting, and the invitation was given, and he gets up as a 13-year-old boy, and he walks down front. And a man meets him and takes him off to the side and sets him on the front pew and says, "Boy, I'm glad you came forward. Let me fill out a card on you." So he takes out a card, gets his name, gets his address, and gives it back to the pastor of the church. At the end of the service, they read it off that Danny Craig was saved. Not one time did they ever share the gospel with him. Not one time did they ever open the Bible. And as far as he knew, that's all you had to do is you just come forward and fill out a card and you're saved. In a Baptist church. You see, Paul was very, very different than that. Paul was very careful. He wanted to make sure you understood. He wanted to make it where you could understand the gospel. He didn't want to flatter you with anything else. He didn't want to try to trick you into it. He didn't want to try to sway you into anything. He wanted the gospel of Jesus Christ to speak to your heart. But on the other hand, he was praising God for those that did get saved. There's so much in this chapter that's so important for us to take to heart here and to understand of how important it is. And coming forward in a service doesn't save anybody, and filling out a church card is not going to save anybody. Only the gospel can save someone. And he was amazed And later, he gets saved later in life. He ends up he never felt right about it. He never had any peace after that night at that revival. He kind of even thought to himself, well, was I really saved when I made that step, even though the church failed to maybe lead him down the right path? But he often thought, but what would have happened if I would have died a few weeks later after that? And very seriously, we need to understand that there, you know, even in this world we live in, there's a lot of just, quote, religious people, but religion never has saved anybody. Only the gospel saves someone. And Paul here, all throughout this chapter, is just emphasizing over and over and over the importance, but also very key that, once again, I'm going to go back and hit it once again. It's important that we understand this morning how we view the world. Now, I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be around the things that the world does. I don't want to be around the way the world talks. I don't want to become a part of them, but I do live in this world. But I've also got to have an attitude and a mindset this morning that I don't want to become like them. I don't want their influence to influence me in the wrong way. But I've also got to realize, but they are very dear to us because they're the ones we're after. They're the ones that the gospel is for. That's why we preach the gospel. We don't preach the gospel the gospel this morning, and I don't know how to word this. I realize it's for everyone, but I mean, the gospel message is for those that need Christ, for the lost. So let's not put up a wall and say we're God's people, and that's the old lost world out there. They are the lost world out there, but they are the ones that we are targeting. Those are the ones that we share the gospel with. Those are the ones that are dear to us. Those are the ones that we want to go after. They're the ones that need to hear the gospel. But it's a shame sometimes that the gospel is mentioned in this room. We hear it, we absorb it, and we go out in the world and we never share it. Paul was not like that. Paul, at times, his life was even endangered, but he didn't let that stop him from sharing the gospel. Very bold in his witness. He goes on, verse 17, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in the presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." I mean, Paul, even after those who had trusted Christ and those who became a child of God, I mean, Paul enjoyed being with them. He enjoyed being with God's people. I'm not saying Paul didn't like being with God's people. He just liked being with the lost world. I mean, Paul enjoyed those that had trusted, had become believers, who became involved in the churches that were established, that were growing, that were maturing. I mean, Paul's ministry was also for them as well. He goes on in verse number 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Even Paul acknowledges here a battle that he faced every day, and that was against Satan. I've got news for you this morning. Satan does not like the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, Satan hates any gospel preaching church. I believe that a gospel preaching church will face obstacles that non-gospel preaching churches will face. See, what do you mean non-gospel preaching church? Listen, dear friend, there are a lot of churches out there that you know as well as I do that are not presenting the gospel. They're not sharing the gospel. They don't believe in the gospel. They try to cover it up. They try to hide it. I mean, we got churches today that are so embarrassed to put their name even on a sign. Non-denominational. I just call them non. They're just nothings. They're so afraid that they're going to offend somebody. Oh, you can't put Baptist on the sign anymore. You'll run off a lot of people that you could have reached because the word Baptist offends them. Tell Paul that. I wonder how John the Baptist would feel about that. We live in a day and age, dear friend, where churches try to cover up everything they are, and they're trying their dead level best to be exactly like the world. Their whole service is geared towards the worldly flesh. Their music is geared that way. Their platform, even the appearance of the room is geared towards a worldly kind of an atmosphere because they don't want to offend anybody. And listen, we should never strive to offend anybody, but I've got news for you sometimes. The gospel is going to offend some folks. But you can't let that stop you. And not only is the world sometimes going to get offended and they're going to get mad and they're not going to like what you have to say, you've got to also realize you've also got Satan you've got to battle every day. And Satan will do his very best to hinder you in anything you do for Christ, especially when it comes in trying to share the gospel message. He'll try to destroy a church that preaches the gospel. He'll try to destroy the pastor of a church that tries to preach the gospel. He'll try to destroy the ministries of that church, the people of that church. And that's you got to realize that's Satan's goal. He does not want the gospel to be spread. Because once a person trusts Christ as their Savior, Satan can never get them. He can never get their soul once they trust Christ as their Savior. Paul here acknowledges here that another obstacle that he faced in verse number 18, he said, guess what? There were times that Satan hindered us. You've got to realize every day that you live that Satan's going to be after you every day. Say, well, it's so difficult to try to, you know, to do this and do that in the ministry. Well, sure it is. I mean, Satan's trying to hinder us. Do you really think that Satan's going to make it easy for us? Do you really believe this morning that Satan's going to try to open up a clear pathway for you this week to go share the gospel with that one that you know that needs to be saved, or that lost loved one that needs to be saved, or that one that is down the road that's going to go through an experience this week that opens up an opportunity for you to share the gospel with him? I mean, do you really believe this morning that Satan's going to say, you know, I'm going to try to make it easy for you to get the gospel to them? Hey, that's not the way it works. Satan's going to try to do everything he can to stop you from sharing the gospel with them. It's amazing sometimes how often we give in to Satan's devices. Here's one. We all use this. Well, it's just not the right time to share the gospel. Let me ask you something. When is it not the right time? That's a lie of the devil. We use it often, don't we? Well, it's not just the right place. And I understand that, hey, if you're working a job and you're working for a corporation, they're not hiring you and paying you to go out there and preach to everybody all day. I get that. And there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And I understand that. But let's not cave in to the devices of Satan all the time and use the excuses that he gives of why we don't witness. The reason we don't witness like we ought to is because we fall short. We sin. We fail. We give in. We cower in often, do we not? Nothing wrong with giving a gospel tract to someone. We ought to be, ones that look for opportunities maybe to give out a gospel tract and witness in our times out. Let me hurry here. I think I have, just verse 19 and 20. He says, verse number 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For we are our glory and joy. You'll find that Paul found great glory and joy in seeing people trust Christ as their Savior, become involved in the churches that were established, start growing for Christ, and they become witnesses for Christ. And you'll find that's where Paul found his joy and rejoicing. Let's pray and we'll dismiss.